You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, courts in the US found that Meta and YouTube were responsible for the childhood addiction and mental health issues of a woman known as KGM, awarding $6 million USD, or $10.4 million in New Zealand dollars, in damages. Meanwhile, in New Mexico, Meta was fined $375 million USD, or $650 million New Zealand dollars, for endangering children. Internationally, countries are increasingly coming to reckon with the effects of social media. Australia, which last year banned under 16-year-olds from accessing social media, is pursuing further potential legal action against the social media giants, while debates around a similar ban in Aotearoa New Zealand continue to polarise. However, in the light of the harms posed by social media, a ban is not the only solution that has been proposed. To speak to us on some of these alternative approaches, I was joined by Professor Terri-Ann Clark of the University of Auckland School of Nursing.
Kia ora, Professor Terri-Ann Clark. So, starting off, we've seen recent cases in the US where a jury in Los Angeles found YouTube, which is owned by Google's parent company Alphabet, and Meta, which owns Facebook and Instagram, responsible for childhood addiction and mental health issues. They've awarded $6 million USD in damages. Now, we've also seen a case recently in New Mexico, which found Meta liable for its platforms endangering children, awarding over $300 million USD in cases. Can you walk us through briefly the implications of this news for us? Is this good news?
Well, I think it just reassures and affirms what a lot of us have thought for a while, you know, that actually many of these companies have been deliberately targeting and marketing and producing content that actually can be really harmful to children and young people.
Yeah, so on the flip side of that kind of decision, we've also seen recently cases like in Australia, which have advocated for or have pursued a complete ban of social media for children under the ages of 16. Now, recently, it's been announced that they're actually pursuing even more court action against the big tech companies because they've failed to ban these under 16-year-olds from their platforms properly. Does this kind of illustrate issues with pursuing complete bans? I mean, what's the kind of middle ground between these approaches, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, like, what I think's useful about these court actions are that they're, you know, putting a line in the sand and saying, actually, this is harmful for our children. And actually, it's your responsibility to design content that is safe, that is not going to harm our children. And the ways that we leverage that isn't necessarily around total bans, right? Because social media is part of our world, and it's how young people keep in contact, it's how they engage with the world, it's how they find out information, it's how adults do that. And to kind of completely ban young people, I think, shuts off all the really good things as well as the really negative things. So, you know, I actually think that a social media ban is not a great idea. I think that it's a really blunt instrument for a much bigger issue. It sort of just sticks a sticking plaster on a gaping wound. And I think, you know, actually there are far smarter ways that we could go about doing this.
So what are some of these smarter ways that we could go about it? And would we be able to, I guess, trust the companies that control these platforms to pursue these solutions as well?
Oh, look, I don't think it's in their best interests to create content that that isn't addictive, that doesn't market to young people because that's how they make their money. But, you know, we've, over many years, put in a whole bunch of legislations that protect children in Aotearoa, for instance. So we can't market alcohol and tobacco to children. We can't have marketing on television where we know that in times that we know that children are going to be on TV, you know, watching TV. So there's a whole range of strategies that, you know, kind of public health strategies that we know limit young people's access.
Okay, so leaning into that more regulation rather than prohibition stance, what are some solutions that we could maybe look for?
So I think that there are a range of things that we can engage in. So I think, first of all, we have to hold the megas and the giants accountable for their content. And this is a global action that needs to happen. I think if little old New Zealand goes in there and says, you can't do that anymore, I think we would have limited leverage, I guess. But actually, if everyone gets together, if all of the nations say this is unacceptable, you cannot target our children and young people like this, I think we've got far more power to be able to influence at that level. I also think there's a range of strategies at the New Zealand legislative level. So there's the Harmful Communications Act. There is a range of sort of solutions that we could put in at a local level. Interestingly enough, Australia's having, a fair amount of difficulty with the age verification of young people. And so, we do have to think more creatively about how we support young people to engage online and have access to, appropriate content, but also, one of the things from my perspective is that actually young people's first help seeking is done via, Google or ChatGPT, or, young people are seeking solutions online. And if we cut off that lifeline, we actually could be, creating more harm by, reducing young people's access to support. These are digital natives. They are much smarter than us at figuring out ways around systems. Well, much smarter than me anyway. Just an example of that, my son, who at the time I think was only about 8, had figured out that if he put in the time zone for Perth, Australia, that he could get 4 more hours on his laptop. And, I was kind of like, how is he getting around these controls that I'm putting on for my children? So even when you think that you're putting in all these foundations and all these strategies to keep our children, maybe minimize their time online or make sure that they go to bed and things like that, they find ways around it. So I do think that we have to be much smarter around making sure that that the content is safe, that we are looking at levers to minimise the harm and, maybe get people out and talking to real humans again and doing stuff that children do, which I think is really important. I also think from a mental health perspective, there's some really, we've got a lot of anxious young people who don't really know how to make friends now. And so, leveraging online spaces for young people to connect is really just one of the strategies, but we sort of need to figure out how to create this real life and online presence in balance, really. One of the other things that I think is really important is that, then young people aren't going to magically figure out how to be responsible digital citizens at the age of 16. Actually, this is an incremental thing. We have to teach children how to incrementally, just like we sort of teach young people how to drive. You don't just kind of throw them the keys when they're 16 and go, off you go. There's a whole range of things that we can do that sort of graduate young people into more independence and abilities to negotiate content by themselves.
Professor Tyrion Clark, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was Professor Tyrion Clark from the University of Auckland School of Nursing on the recent social media court cases in the US, the need for international collaboration and domestic regulation of social media platforms.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.